Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature, text number 12. Please repeat. Lobaha pravritihi arambaha karmanam ashama spriha rajasi etani jayante vivride Bharata Rishab Loba Pravritir Aramba Loba Pravritir Aramba Karmanang Ashamas Priyaha Raja Setyani Jayante Raja Setani Jayante Vivride Bharata Rishabha Loba pravritir aramba karmanang asamaspriya rajasyetani yayante vivride bharatarshaba loba pravritir aramba karmanam asamaspriya Rajasyetani jayante vivride bharatarshaba. Please repeat. Lobaha. Greed. Pravritihi. Activity. Arambaha. Endeavor. Karmanam. Inactivities. Asamaha. Uncontrollable, spriya, desire, rajasi, of the mode of passion, etani, all these, jayante, develop, vivride, when there is an excess, bharata rishabha, O chief of the descendants of Bharat, Translation. O chief of the Bharats, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruit of activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. Purport. One in a mode of passion is never satisfied with the position he has already acquired. He hankers to increase his position if he wants to conduct a residential house. He tries his best to have a palatial house as if he would be able to reside in that house eternally. And he develops a great hankering for sense gratification. There is no end to sense gratification. He always wants to remain with his family and in his house and to continue the process of sense gratification. There is no cessation of this. All these symptoms should be understood as characteristic of the mode of passion. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nuha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutle Soyang Rupa Kadama Yang Dadati Swaparantikang Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsa Shri Rupang Sakrajatam Sakana Raganatang Vidang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Shri Radha Krishna Parang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vidangsa Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radha Vrindavanishwari, Rishabhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Haripiye, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Vangsi Vattatastita Karjan Venu Swanar Gopir Gopinata Shri Estunaha Sri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vangsivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. So, we continue to read from Bhagavad Gita, text number 12. Loba pravritir aramba karmanam asamaspriya rajasyetani jayante vivride bharatarshava. So, loba asamaspriyaha, uncontrollable desire. Great attachment, Prabhupada translates. Fruit of activity, intense endeavor and uncontrollable desire and hankering. So that is the mode of passion. Yesterday we read what the mode of goodness is. It says that all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. So today we're doing passion, and text 13 must be ignorance then. Text 13, when there is an increase in the amount of ignorance, O son of Guru, darkness, inertia, madness and illusion are manifested. So that is even worse. Today is also not so good. I mean, these are not like super good qualities, if you listen to that. I mean, great attachment. Some might say that it is good. Great attachment is good for spiritual things. But for material things, great attachment is not good. Like the example is given of the sparrow. The sparrow, mother sparrow, she saw that her children were caught in the net of the hunter. And the children were screaming, "Peep, peep, 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 please, mother, help us." But they were caught in the net. What can a little sparrow do? So the mother, she thought, "Let me help my children, because they are calling me." So she went to help them, and then the hunter also catched her. So then the father came, and he saw all this. He saw his children and his wife, and they were in the net, and they were screaming and shouting. And what did the father do? He said, "Oh, this is no use. My help will not do anything. Let me take sannyas." And he left. So he was not very attached like the mother. So that is not good, great attachment. It can lead us to death or to hell. Fruit of activity, also not very good. It's not super bad, but Krishna explains to us that we should have unconditional love. We should have love without any condition. And fruit of activity means that we have a condition. We want to have the fruit. We do an activity and we want to be paid. Like they say in America, pay me what's right. We want to get paid. So that is not pure devotional service. Intense endeavor. So we discussed that yesterday. Of course, it is good to intensely endeavor for Krishna. Yet we discussed about the stock exchange that, you know, a devotee doesn't waste too much time trying to earn money. So intense endeavor, you know, for making money, that is not good. Unless it is for Krishna. Still, a devotee tries to just keep it simple. Have a simple house, simple living, high thinking. Because if you get too much entangled with, you know, chasing after the money, then, you know, your thinking, your consciousness, it will just go down the drain. Uncontrollable desire. Who wants to have uncontrollable desire? Well, we want to have uncontrollable desire for Krishna, but that is not what is meant here. This is uncontrollable desire for material things. So that is not good. Some desire can be there, although it must be given up ultimately, but uncontrollable desire, that is not good. And then hankering. So again, hankering for Krishna is very good, But hankering for material things, that also will not help us. Purport. One in the mode of passion is never satisfied with the position he has already acquired. Sounds familiar? Sounds familiar to me. We're never satisfied. We always want... You know, this, the Buddhists, they say, if you look in the past, then you're just lamenting, oh, what I could have. And then we're hankering about the future. You know, oh, you know, I want to have this, I want to have that. We just have to be satisfied. This is... Because the Buddhists, it's not so much different from Krishna consciousness, although, strictly speaking, it's atheism. Still, they have many intelligent points, and they say you have to live in the presence. Of course, their presence, it's very... In one sense, it's kind of demoniac, because they want to really kill God. They want to deny God. So the presence without God, that is not good. But the presence with God, that is very good. That is called Krishna conscious, that we are conscious of Krishna and we're not so much worried about the past or the future. We're just depending on Krishna. It's not that we don't think of the future. Prabhupada says we need to make lifetime plans. Still, we also try to keep it to Krishna. We hand it over to Krishna. We do our best and we leave it to Krishna. Prabhupada says we pray like everything, we work like everything is depending on us, and we pray that everything is depending on Krishna. So we don't get too much carried away that we are in control. We try to do our part, and then we pray to Krishna that he will help us. And, you know, there's this wonderful video of Shyamasundar on the memory tapes, and he explained that they were so surrendered to Srila Prabhupada that they were just expecting miracles. Like one, he tells one story that they really needed to have some rent. It was either in San Francisco or New York, probably San Francisco, and they couldn't pay the rent for the temple, and they just rounded the corner and suddenly these $100 bills were just floating in the street. I mean, he never really explained what happened. I mean, you know, if a miracle like that happens, you're looking for rent money, you don't ask too many questions. So they just took as many notes as they could gather, and they paid the rent. So, but they were really, you know, depending on Krishna. They were really working hard, and then you see that Krishna will reciprocate. So we should be satisfied with the position that we have already acquired. This is very difficult. So, of course, chanting Hare Krishna helps, and it helps if we. That's why we discussed it yesterday also. That's why we need a guru. You know, the guru, he can tell us what is our position. Are we a kshatriya or a sudra or a vaishya or a brahmana? Of course, we're in ISKCON, we're basically being trained up for brahmanas. It's not that it's you get born as a kshatriya or you get... I mean, to some extent you do, but that doesn't mean that you cannot become a brahman. So it is like an education. So, you know, it's the same like, you know, somebody might be born poor, but it doesn't mean he cannot become a judge. Might be a little bit more difficult, but it's still possible. So, but still the guru can kind of guide us, you know, should we get married, should we not get married? Of course, you know, it is said that that is one instruction of the guru that we can ignore. If we want to stay brahmachari, then, you know, we don't have to follow that instruction. I know actually one friend of mine, his guru told him to get married and he didn't do it. And he's still brahmachari. And he has a, you know, quite a good relationship with his guru. He's a little bit of a avaduta, as they say, but he's still very strict brahmachari. And got a good relationship with his guru. So, yeah, sometimes you can do that. But the point is that in general, you know, the guru can guide us to get us fixed in our position. And then if we, you know, do what we want to do, like Prabhupada asked Yadurani, what do you want to do? And she said, I like to paint. So she started to paint. So that is very important, that you do what you like to do and what you're good at. And then you're automatically, you'll be satisfied with the position. We have certain qualities from birth, and if we use them in Krishna service, then everything will become very natural. Of course, course, sometimes also we need to do the, you know, the needful. We're on a preaching mission. This is like an army. But long term, we should try to do according to our nature. We should try to act according to our nature. So, but the person in the mode of passion, and I explained that yesterday, we must come to the mode of goodness. Because these are not the you know, qualities of a devotee. Great attachment for, you know, you name it, woman, money, you know, all those things. You know, intoxication, gambling, great attachment. Fruit of activity, again, money, you know, you work to, you know, get money or to get, you know, sex or whatever. Intense endeavor, you work like day and night, you know, and then people, they snort cocaine just to, you know, give themselves power and all kinds of pills and, you know, it's great. And it's crazy. And an uncontrollable desire. Then, you know, they go to prostitutes and all kinds of crazy things. And they hanker, they always hanker for this and that. That is not how a devotee should live. We have to come to the mode of goodness. So, so therefore we should be in a position that we can be peaceful in. And so then we can develop the mode of goodness. He hankers to increase his position, Prabhupada says, the person in the mode of passion. Of course, that means material position. The devotee is like Krishna, Atmaram, he's self-satisfied. Devotee is just happy to sit down anywhere and chant Hare Krishna. This is how Prabhupada explains it. And our Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, he is the ultimate example. Sunday we'll have a dramatic reading about Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. Haridas Thakur just said, why don't you just sit down and just chant? You know, you worship the Tulsi plant and you just sit down and chant. Of course, he was chanting 300,000 names, which is a lot. It's about 180 rounds. So Prabhupada says we cannot imitate that. You'll just be thinking of money and women. And Bhaktisiddhanta also said, my proud mind, why are you chanting all alone? You're just wanting admiration. So it's not recommended. Still, it's not bad, especially if you get old. You know, then it might be good. Although, you know, Prabhupada basically preached till the end of his life. So in general, it's not recommended. But some people might be have that desire, or they might be very suitable to do that. Anyway, the point is that we can be happy living simple and just sitting somewhere and chanting. And that is the next sentence. If he wants to construct a residential house, he tries his best to have a palatial house, as if he would be able to reside in that house eternally. So I will reluctantly admit that sounds like a very attractive idea. But of course, we have to use our intelligence. And like Prabhupada says, kind of sarcastically, that as if he would be able to reside in that house eternally. So of course we can't. We cannot, you know, live in the house eternally. Neither can we live in our body eternally. Yet, we construct a house like we can live there eternally. So, again, it should not be over-endeavored. It's not that devotees should not live in nice houses. Of course, he should live in nice houses, but he should not get too much carried away with it. Of course, there you can also make a case that, yeah, but for Krishna, we can do it. Yeah, but still, you know, because we're making big temples, of course. So that is, of course, very good. But those are temples. House generally should be a little bit simple. Of course, if you really turn it into a temple and you have programs like every week or every other day, then you could make a case. But again, the point is that we shouldn't over endeavor. We should not work like 5 or 10 years on our house and, you know, stop chanting our rounds because we want to, you know, make a house to have a house program. That's not the idea. Anyway, but we should try to understand that in general, you know, we are in the mode of passion. We're never satisfied with the position that we have already acquired. We hanker to increase our position. We want to construct a residential house and we try our best to have a palatial house as if we would be able to reside there eternally. Prabhupada continues, and he develops a great hankering for sense gratification. So who can honestly say that he never hankers for sense gratification? Prabhupada says if you stop hankering for sense gratification, then you're practically liberated. Lust and envy, Prabhupada says, this is the test. So, of course, here it says great hankering. So, you know, generally a devotee cools down when as soon as he starts taking prasadam and eating and chanting Hare Krishna. Still, you know, it is, at least to me, it sounds very familiar, develops a great hankering for sense gratification. As long as it stays with a great hankering, then it's still okay, as far as I'm concerned. You know, as long as you don't do it. Because, you know, if you're initiated, you promised no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no eating of meat. So you might have some hankering to have illicit sex or to, you know, I don't know, gamble or have some intoxication. But if you don't do it, then you're still okay. You should, of course, you know, try to get rid of that hankering by, you know, engaging yourself in Krishna's service that we discussed in the beginning. That you are in a position that you like to be in. That is very, very important. And then automatically this great hankering for sense gratification will gradually diminish. And also my personal experience, that it kind of comes in waves. Sometimes you get hit by these waves, and if you can just ride that kind of storm, it will subside. And especially Dina Dayal was saying that February is the month of the most suicides. So this is definitely a month where there will be great hankering for sense gratification. So sometimes you just have to kind of, you know, ride it out, tolerate it, and then you'll see when it's March or May, then you know, the sun comes out, and you know, the Rath Yatras, they need to be organized, and you know, your mind gets you know, distracted from, you know, sense gratification to Krishna consciousness. He always wants to remain with his family and in his house and to continue the process of sense gratification. Yeah, so that we discussed yesterday, that, you know, we have to get out of the Grihastha ashram once we turn 50. That is the man. The man should go out and the wife should ideally stay with her grown-up sons. Of course, you know, in the past, many times this has not been done properly. Maybe it's not so good to talk about it too much, but maybe should discuss it a little bit, because it's kind of a hot topic, and it's mainly that people get a little bit frustrated when people say things like that because of the past. So maybe should discuss it a little bit. That, you know, my understanding is that Prabhupada was just really trying to establish the movement and push it forward. And also Prabhupada was also kind of, as they say in America, making it up as he was going along. And in the beginning, he didn't allow women to have Brahman initiation. And then Yadurani and Govindarasi got really upset. And then Prabhupada saw that he had to adjust things accordingly. And then he allowed women to have Brahman initiation. And so there are many examples like that. Like Prabhupada considered to have men marrying more than one woman. And then he heard from Satsarup that this is against the law in the West. And then Prabhupada also saw that people got, you know, remarried and had illicit sex. And, you know, that, you know, allowing his disciples to get more than one wife would just result in more, you know, illicit sex and more disaster. So, you know, at some stage he said, no, it's not allowed in our society. He wrote a letter. And still people try to make a case. And Prabhupada does say that it's Vedic. Still, he kind of adjusted that for a society. Can be readjusted perhaps in the future, few more generations, I would say, but it could be adjusted. Still, the whole idea is to give it up, not to increase it. That was Prabhupada's ultimate argument. So anyway, so Prabhupada he adjusted things, and he also kind of was pushing the mission. And in the beginning, In 1970, he started the GBC, and then Prabhupada said that GBC is for grihasthas. Sannyasis should be traveling. So everybody became a grihastha. Because they thought, wow, then I can become GBC if I'm a grihastha. And then it kind of shifted, because Prabhupada said that the sannyasis are the leader. And then it kind of shifted. And then all these grihasthas, I don't want to name any names, they were like panicking. And they were like, oh, now it's sannyas. And they all became sannyas. And their wives were left, I don't want to say crying, but they were at least very upset. So this was all very, very immature. You can't really blame Srila Prabhupada for that. It's just immature. You can't even really blame the disciples because they were like 25 years old. And I know I don't want to tell you what I was doing when I was 25, but it wasn't very good. So you're very passionate when you're that age. So you can't even really blame those disciples. Still, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. And so therefore, we have kind of a bad taste in our mouth when we discuss these kind of things. So the idea is that the wife should give her blessings to the husband once he turns 50 to leave the house. And then he takes vanaprastha. He goes, you know, the Vedic culture is that he goes into the forest. What I understood is that husband and wife can also travel together. This is a kind of a slow vanaprastha. And visit temples and like that. And then gradually they become more and more detached. And at some stage they only write letters, mainly the husband writes letters to the wife. And then the letters gradually stop, and then the husband takes sannyas. According to the ideal Vedic system, that is around 75. So, you know, that we also don't follow so much, you know. As soon as we see the opportunity, we take the danda. And that is also why many sannyasis have fallen down in the past, because it's a little bit premature. It's a very difficult ashram. Like my friend used to say, as soon as you enter a room, then people start to bow down for you. And as soon as that happens, then something changes in your mind. This is, of course, a very, you know, kind of powerful experience. You enter into a room and everybody starts to bow down. And generally, devotees do that even though you might not be very advanced, because that's the culture. It's the, you bow down for the ashram. So you might get the wrong idea. Oh, I'm very advanced, you know. Why is he not bowing down? And why is she not bowing down? So this is, of course, the wrong idea. But that happens kind of subconsciously, very quickly. And it's a very dangerous ashram. It should not be taken prematurely. Of course, now the GBC is more and more, you know, monitoring it. You need like 9 recommendations, and you need to have bhakti vaibhav and so many things. So that is a very good thing. So it should not be taken prematurely. But at the same time, we should not be, you know, hanging on to the grihastha ashram too long. We discussed that yesterday also, that sometimes people use Srila Prabhupada as an excuse. That, you know, Prabhupada was 54, 57, so, you know, I can also wait. And then I gave the example of Lord Jesus, because sometimes people say that, Lord Jesus was also eating meat, so I can also eat meat. And Prabhupada said, yeah, but Lord Jesus can eat the whole universe. And another thing that I forgot to say, Prabhupada also said that, okay, so Jesus, he might have eaten meat, but then why don't you also, take all the sins of all the people? Why don't you also hang yourself on the cross and take up all the sins of all the people in the world? So, you know, we always want to take the bad. You know, we don't want to take the good example of the acharyas. So, you know, that is our bad tendency of the mind. I'm not different. But we should try to see the good. Like I said yesterday, that Prabhupada went to Delhi, he got almost speared by a bull. It was very, very tough. And he was about 57, was all alone. Nobody was helping him, trying to please his spiritual master by printing back to Godhead and translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he went to New York. And it was also all alone. And it's explained also on the memory tapes, could be Mukunda or any one of those first devotees, and it's explained that what happened actually with Srila Prabhupada is that he really hit rock bottom. He was in that ashram with that Mayavadi, Dr. I forgot his name. Anyway, and things were quite good for him in New York. He had an apartment, and then this crazy guy, he kind of robbed him, and at some stage Prabhupada was on the street. It was cold, it was kind of wintry. New York can get very cold. It's very dangerous. You can actually, people freeze to death in New York. You get like snow and it gets really bad. And Prabhupada was on the street. And that's when things started to move. That's when Kirtanananda and Mukunda and all these people, they came together and they said, we got to help the Swami. The Swami is on the street and we have to help him. And they rented the place and they put in a carpet and they put in furniture. And that's when the Hare Krishna movement really started off. But Prabhupada was forced by Krishna to completely surrender. It was almost like Draupadi. He just had to put his hands up in the air. Krishna, I'm on the street. You know, I want to please my spiritual master. Please help me. And it wasn't that, I mean, you can say that it's all pastimes, and perhaps it is, but Prabhupada was, he said that he was going to the harbor to, because he was thinking so many times, I should go back to India. And he was just looking at the boats because he was thinking, this is not going to work. This is insanity. All of his godbrothers, they tried, they had so much money of Bhaktisiddhanta and they all failed. And Prabhupada says, you know, if my big godbrothers, they're all sannyasis, if they failed, then maybe I will also fail. And it was up to the point that he completely surrendered, and then the whole thing started to move. So we should take that example. We should take that example that we should completely surrender to Prabhupada's instructions and the instructions of our spiritual master. And try to, you know, work as hard as our spiritual masters are working. Try to work as hard as Srila Prabhupada is working. And try to see the good. Try to see, you know, how much they are working, and not so much focus on the bad. We all make mistakes. In fact, when Prabhupada talks about a sadhu, then he quotes that verse from the 9th chapter. That a sadhu, the definition of a sadhu is that he is fixed in determination, he can make a mistake, he can make a deviation, he can make a fall down, but because he's fixed in his determination, it is not very important. So we should see that even though people might, you know, like even during Prabhupada's time, it happened that one sannyasi fell down and he became a grihastha. And of course, it's very upsetting for the whole society. But still, Prabhupada said, "Now, don't get carried away. You can keep on fighting. You're now better situated, and you keep on fighting." So, you know, we have to see the good that person. That devotee was determined to keep serving Srila Prabhupada, even though he fell down. It was a great embarrassment for him. Prabhupada even, at one stage in that so-called pastime, Prabhupada got very upset because some devotees, they were kind of laughing at him and telling stories. And Prabhupada, when he saw that, when he heard about it, he immediately cut it off. He said, don't do that, because then it will be more difficult for him to come back. Yeah? Prabhupada explains, you should not incite the false ego of the other devotees. So Prabhupada very much understood this, and he came back, and he's still in the movement, and he's still very, very nice devotee. Everybody really really likes him. So he kept serving Srila Prabhupada. He didn't went all overboard. He just changed his ashram, and he became a very nice devotee. So we should see the good. We shouldn't see that, oh, he fell down. No, we should see, no, he continued chanting Hare Krishna. So we should try to see the positive with these things and not so much focus on the negative. So that is not good. He always wants to remain with his family and in his house to continue the process of sense gratification. When we hit 50, we should try to get out. And like I said, it can be a gradual thing. We need the permission of the wife. And also, I forgot to mention that, the wife should have, well, ideally a grown-up son, and she should have a nice house, and she should have enough money. So all these things should be there. And then on top of that, the wife also has to give her permission and blessings. And then you can leave the house. If she doesn't give the blessings, then you have to work. Of course, the wife shouldn't abuse it also. We should all act like Vaishnavas. If the husband wants to get out, then the wife should support that. But at the same time, the husband shouldn't also abuse it. He cannot just leave when there's no money and there's no house. That would be madness. So this should be done also in consultation with the guru and with senior Vaishnavas, and it should be done in a mature, gradual way. There is no cessation of this, Prabhupada says. The person who is impassioned, he just wants to hold on to the household life. All these symptoms should be understood as characteristic of the mode of passion. So that is not good. Should come to the mode of goodness. Any questions, comments? Okay, so I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.